This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell it to you, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're
going to
see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the show. But a gentleman we had on early in the season to break down all things NFL is Dan Pizzuta of SharpFootballAnalysis.com. He does an exceptional job, really in-depth stat stuff. And he's got a first and 10 article at sharpfootballanalysis.com. Go check it out. 10 observations from 10 different games. It's really good. And he joins us now. Dan, first of all, thank you for hopping on with us here in Portland. It's nice to have you back on the program. And second, yesterday we did a segment called We Owe You an Apology, and we went through different things in the NFL. I owe the Miami Dolphins an apology. They're not as bad as I thought they would be. Who do you owe an apology to, player or team?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. First, thank you, Jesper, for having me back on. I really appreciate it. I'm going to say, I think maybe the Tennessee Titans right now. I was looking at, you know, a lot of what they did last year. It's a lot of, you know, really good play action stuff. Ryan Tannehill was just super efficient last year into, you know, the intermediate range. He was completing about 75% of his passes on balls that went between 11 and 19 yards past the line of scrimmage. And that is, you know, one of the best rates in the league last year. It was also way higher than his career norms. But this year he's doing it again. I didn't think that was something they'd be able to continue. But we've kind of seen they've been able to do it. I think Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator there, has done a really good job. They're opening up that middle of the field there. That play action game is just working so well. So I think they are someone where even if their highs right now are not going to be as high as it is right now, I think they have as much of a sustainable performance as you could in that type of offense.
Yeah, that play action pass game has been dominant, mixed in with Derrick Henry running all over people, 212 yards on Sunday. That was pretty incredible. The big news of the day the NFL was the quarterback change happening in Miami. Now, we're not going to see it for a week because they're going into a bye week, but the Dolphins going from Fitzmagic to Tua. Your thoughts on the timing, the announcement, and just how this is going to go moving forward for Brian Flores?
Yeah, it kind of seems like this was the plan all along. If they're going into their bye now, they're going to have Tua starting coming out of the bye. That gives them, you know, a whole extra week of practice before he gets inserted as the starter. And as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick was, he was like a top 10 quarterback in efficiency over these first couple of weeks. I don't think that, and even if, you know, the AFC East is kind of still a little more wide open than we would have thought, especially with some, you know, subpar Buffalo performances. But I don't think trying to chase, you know, even a playoff berth with Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't outweigh what the Dolphins are going to get for figuring out what Tua is as a quarterback, and that's going to help the long-term of this team a lot more, and especially when you figure that they have Houston's first-round pick now, so they kind of already have a pick that might be in the top 10. So even if you're, you know, trying to get better, I think you're benefiting yourself way more for the future of the franchise with Tua at quarterback. And then I think everything that's going on there, they, like you said, they've been a much better team than you would have thought. I think Brian Flores really has a good system in place there, and they're figuring out a lot of things on the fly, and they're way ahead of where we thought they would be with the rebuild schedule.
Yeah, Dan Pizzuta is our guest here, sharpfootballanalysis.com. Go check out his latest article, his First and 10. It is really good. It's one of the more in-depth things you'll read every Monday following the NFL weekend. You know, there's a lot of rookie quarterback conversation for people. One of those here locally is Justin Herbert. He's been absolutely lights out so far, and they haven't won a game, but he's played really well. First, what did you think of Justin Herbert going into the draft? It's okay if you didn't think he was going to be all that impressive. He was kind of polarizing out here. And two, what do you make of the play he has really given the Chargers thus far?
Sure. And I would say I was on this skeptical side of Justin Herbert, because I think you kind of saw, and you could, I'm sure there was a big discussion over there of just some of the play calling, some of the system he was in college probably didn't showcase his strengths. And I think with the Chargers right now, they're doing a better job of that. They're letting him throw down the field a little more. It's a little more of an open offense, and I think that's really playing to his strength. What you worried about when he was in college is some down-to-down consistency, and I think some of that is still there with what he's doing with the Chargers, but the big plays right now are really just overshadowing those down-to-down consistency. So he's able to live with some of that down-to-down inconsistency because those high-level plays are there. I think you look at, you know, if you compare it to someone like Daniel Jones in New York, right now, the down-to-down consistency isn't there, and those big plays aren't there to make up for it. With Justin Herbert now, I think he's buying himself some development time by hitting on these big plays. I think the Chargers could even help him out a little more by letting him pass a little more on early downs. They're still a super run-heavy team on first and second down, and that's kind of putting him into these long third downs that have kind of made him be this Superman on third down. So I think they could help him out a little earlier in series. But right now, I think he's much better than anyone could have thought, and probably even the Chargers, because they weren't expecting to be starting him at this point.
Right, right. I only had to throw him out there because of an injury. It's funny. I think the media and fans alike can be pretty reactionary based on just what we've seen most recently, and we just kind of go with that's the way it's going to be all year. One team that has now had both sides of that coin, positively and negatively, is the Buffalo Bills, who went from 4-0, and Josh Allen was an MVP candidate, to they got boat raced by Tennessee. Allen didn't look good. Then yesterday in the rain, yeah, it was pretty ugly. Allen got off to a bad start, and he had that one drive late in the game where they finally scored a touchdown, but Kansas City able to just run the ball kind of down their throat. What do you make of the Bills, and who is the real Josh Allen, the one we saw in the first 4 weeks or the one we've seen in the last 2 weeks?
So I'm going to try not to have a cop-out answer, but it's probably somewhere in between. I think you have to give the Chiefs a lot of credit here, because their pass defense, especially, has been one of the best in the league so far. Steve Spagnuolo really has that going well. They're getting a little better pass rush. They have Tyrann Mathieu in the middle of the field, and they have some, you know, cornerbacks who are not very, you know, widely known and not highly drafted either. If you look at guys like Rashad Fenton, Tre'Davious Ward, the guys who you wouldn't really know who they are, but they are playing really well. So I think that stifled the Bills a little bit. And I think you're still seeing there's some of that inaccuracy, like we said, and it's a similar thing to Herbert, where some of the down-to-down consistency isn't there, but they were hitting on these big plays. And a lot of it was some of the deep shots with Stephon Diggs, but he's been really good in the intermediate area also. So I think in the long term, I think they'll be able to figure it out. I have a lot of trust in that offense. I think the play-action game will help them also. But I think right now, I think the bigger concern for Buffalo is going to be the running game and the defense, because those are the two things that were really good last year. They're the worst in the league in rushing efficiency right now. And this defense that was a top five defense last year is now one of the worst in the league. Their linebackers being injured is really hurting them, especially Matt Milano, who's a really good coverage linebacker. And they run nickel about, you know, 80% of the time, or 88% of the time, because of how good their coverage linebackers are. And Tre'Davious White returned against Kansas City, but he wasn't really 100%. So I think that's going to be a big thing. So I'm not sure Buffalo is, you know, one of the best teams in the league that we kind of thought they might be after the first couple weeks. But I think they're going to be much better than they looked the past two games.
Yeah, Dan Pizzuta is our guest here, sharpfootballanalysis.com. He's one of the lead writers. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Dan Pizzuta. We just tweeted it out with the fan and the show account. All right, well, let's of the four NFC divisions, let's obviously scratch the one division that's not going to matter and they're god-awful and nobody wants to talk about it. Of the North, South, and the West, Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who in the living hell is the best team in the NFC to you?
Ooh, that is a really good question, because there's not a lot of standout great teams. I think every team is really good. But there's not one team right now, and I think every team has some deficiency that could probably hold you up. I don't want to be too reactionary, but Tampa Bay right now is probably the one that stands out. Their offense is starting to click. I think that's something we thought would happen. It was slowly with, you know, Tom Brady getting on the same page with these wide receivers. I think we're starting to see that more. And that defense right now is probably the only defense in the league that can stand out and say they're really a dominant defense. And we saw that against Green Bay. Right now, they have a defense that can blitz a whole lot, and they have the coverage to back it up. So when you have those two things, I mean, we saw what that did to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. He was under pressure on, 46% of his dropbacks. They were just confusing him, getting in his face, and in the coverage to back it up. So he couldn't even, get the ball out quickly, which is what a lot of teams would do against the blitz like that. You see, Buffalo is a team that's blitzing a lot, but they haven't had the coverage right now to really make up for it. So that's been some struggles. But Tampa Bay right now with their cornerbacks, Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, these guys are really young and they're emerging, and they have a difference maker on basically every level of that defense. And that's something that's going to be able to carry them, especially as his offense continues to click. And I mean, we saw Rob Gronkowski start to look like Rob Gronkowski again. And if that's going to be an element of the Buccaneers offense, then I think they're something that could potentially, be really dangerous going forward.
Yeah, Gronk looking like that was definitely an eye opener for a lot of people. Does Mike McCarthy make it out of the year alive? And should attempting a field goal down 28-3 in the third quarter be a fireable offense?
From 58 yards.
Yeah, there's been a lot of questionable decisions. It's really interesting what's going on in Dallas, because I think if the defense wasn't as big of a disaster as it was, we wouldn't really be hearing about some of these, the unrest about players and the revolting against the coaches, because, the offense, with Dak Prescott was doing fine. It was a borderline top 10 offense in efficiency. But what they were really getting killed on was fumbles. They lost every fumble they had before this previous week. So that was already setting the offense back. And that defense, it's not a lot of talent. Some of the talent is working. They have two really good edge rushers in DeMarcus Lawrence, and Alden Smith has been playing great. But on the back end right now, that secondary is lost and usually overmatched. And I think that's something you can blame McCarthy on, even though he is not in control of the defense. He did hire Mike Nolan, who he was the offensive coordinator in San Francisco. But Mike Nolan hasn't been a defensive coordinator since 2014. He took, a top 10 Atlanta defense. And in the 3 years when he left, it was the 32nd ranked defense by the time he was fired. So I think that's something you can blame McCarthy on. But in terms of the overall head coach, I'm not sure it's been too much of a problem, because Kellen Moore has still done an okay job. And I think if you said before the season, by week six, no offensive line starters would be in and Andy Dalton would be in there, you'd say, yeah, the Cowboys are going to have some problems. So the fact that that's what's happening right now is interesting. So how they rally from here on out is going to be really interesting to see. But right now, I still think that defense is a much bigger issue. And that's something with the defensive coaching. And you can put the hire on McCarthy, but so much of that, there's miscommunication, they're overmatched and out-schemed a whole lot. So I think that's the bigger issue in Dallas right now.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from one of our favorites of Sharp Football Analysis, Dan Pizzuta. He does a great job. First and 10 article, go check it out at sharpfootballanalysis.com and give Dan a follow on Twitter. Really in-depth NFL information at Dan Pizzuta. Dan, thanks so much, man. We always appreciate the time. It's been nice having you on a couple times, and I'm sure we're going to have to catch up with you as the season continues to roll on, my man.
All right, sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Dan Pizzuta. He thinks it's the Bucks. He says maybe a little reactionary. Yeah. Didn't mention the Bears, who beat the Bucks, and their defense has been pretty nasty too, but...
You don't have a Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady in Chicago. I think that's probably the main reason.
Defense looked scary against Green Bay, the way they were flying around.
It did. I think last night, yesterday, I should say, an eye-opener for me, too, was the way Kansas City was able to win that game by running the football. Like, Mahomes was almost an afterthought. He made a couple of plays on third downs. He scrambled around. Like, he was – Patrick Mahomes is still great. But the way that they ran the football consistently and just were able to turn it around, hand it off for 6-7 yards, it felt like every pop, just shows the different ways that they can beat you. And now you add Le'Veon Bell to the mix eventually, whether it's next week or the week after that. Like, God, man, good luck stopping that offense.
All right, we have NFL True or False at the bottom. Coming up next, two pretty public figures have a controversial moment with a hot mic. That's next on The Fan. All right, we got NFL True or False coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got crunch time to get to. We got some Pac-12 football games thrown out there. We got the mail sack coming up at 2:15. So get those mail sack questions into the Fan text line.
Mail sack.
Mail sack.
You guys seen the weather report? It's going to get a little chilly this weekend.
Oh, like snow?
I'm going to go buy some wood today. Got to get ready. Got to be
prepared. Big wood.
Dude, the high on Sunday is going
to
be like...
He hasn't laid. He's been terrible this year. We need to throw that at him Friday.
Who, Kevin Todd?
Dear God. Yeah, I think he's like 2-7 in his last 3 weeks.
He's had a rough couple of weeks.
Not gone well. Thank God I went 1-2 and not 0-3.
Yeah, I went 1-2. I did not have a good week.
I went 2-1.
Nice little week for you.
Hey, nice
there you go.
Week.
Yeah, supposed to get dip into the 30s for overnight lows
here
very
soon. We're
going to
have a couple of nights that are freezing. High
the
Sunday.
30s?
Yeah, the high on Sunday is like 47 degrees, man. It's cold season, baby.
Well, is it yet?
It is fire season for like 3 days, and then or fire, not like you get what I'm trying to say. And then next week, I think it's supposed to be back up into like the 60s. So it's a brief departure.
It's a tease
from the normal fall weather.
Get
it's a tease.
Get a low pressure system moving through, dipping down out of Canada.
The barometric pressure jet stream is moving in, folks.
That it is, Bob.
Think about it this way. In 2 weeks, when the Pac-12 season starts, it might just all the games are going to be freezing.
They're all going to be in snow. Yeah. Every game's going to be a snow game. They're going to be played at 7:30 at night, all snow games.
Did you see Minneapolis had snow like two days ago? And everyone's like, it's snowing already?
What is happening?
What? It's Minnesota. What?
No, I text my cousin. He's been living in Minneapolis, I think, for 7-8 years. And he's like, yeah, this is a bit early for us, even for us to get snow now.
I think usually by Thanksgiving, it's snowing.
Yeah,
now.
It's
not Halloween.
No, yeah, Halloween's a little early. I think my favorite weather swings when you get areas like that. Like, I think Denver had a day like this earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Where you go from like 80 degrees one day to like 38 in snow and then back to 80 degrees. Yeah. Like, what?
Totally normal.
Can you imagine that? Like having to wear your shorts and flip-flops one day, break out the snow gear the next day, back into the shorts the next day.
All right. So get those questions in at the Fan text line or on Twitter if you want. We'll get to that at 2:15. I did see this last night. I thought we had to play it. And that was Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, who were on the call of the Tampa Bay-Green Bay game for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bit of a pregame hot mic, and somebody somehow leaked this audio. I've seen some people wonder aloud, is this really them, or is this somehow manipulated audio?
It sounds like that.
I've seen no reports to the contrary, so this seems like it was just hot mics. They didn't know, or they knew, and somebody wanted to throw it out there because it's juicy red meat for some. They had just did a flyover at the Tampa Bay Stadium, and I guess when they did that, you could smell a ton of jet fuel. So here was the audio of the hot mics of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
That's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
How pissed is a certain segment of viewers when they found that? They already think they hate their team.
Sure.
And now they find out that they probably disagree with them politically.
Why does anybody have to get upset by this?
Because it's not their side.
No, it's just
that's all it is.
We don't even know what side he's on. Like, we don't even know if Aikman starts the thing by saying that's a lot of jet fuel. We don't even know what side he's on. You could probably guess, but we don't know concretely. Like, look.
You don't think the Biden-Harris thing is a pretty big toe?
Maybe he doesn't think flyovers should happen. Maybe he's saying that this is good that they... look, anyways, we don't know what the hell he's meaning. I am so tired of this crap, man. First off, hot mics are going to bring everybody down.
Dude, I'm nervous media. When we're talking during commercials because I've had something happen before.
It's going to happen eventually. Everybody in media is going to get brought down by a hot mic, and you think at some point they would learn their lesson. Though, to act like this is a controversy with the hot mic comment in the same light as Brenneman, the guy for the Reds, who used a homophobic slur on a hot mic and then got fired. These are such apples to oranges and in different galaxies. The flyover stuff, look, some people can argue that it is probably a waste of taxpayer money to do them. On the other side, I believe I've read that they need to get flying hours in anyway, so it's a good use of getting those flying hours in.
Does the government, do we pay for that with taxes, or did the teams pay for it?
I don't know what the hell's happening there. You're barking up the wrong tree in all that regard. I will also argue that being in person in a stadium when a flyover happens is kick-ass, man. Anybody who's ever been to a big game, when a big-ass bomber comes flying right over the stadium, it gets your juices flowing right before a game's kicked. And at the same token, I would also argue doing it above a stadium in which there's, 10% capacity is probably a waste of a flyover because the stadium isn't full. And I sure hope to hell that we're not doing these over empty stadiums this year, because the whole point is having fans there to get their sports pants tight and get all fired up to watch some football. The fact that this turned into a controversial thing, and Aikman and Buck were trending on Twitter yesterday, you're free to share your opinions. This is not controversial in any way, shape, or form, and I think we all just need to take a deep breath.
Yeah, I saw them trending, and I'm like, are people just trashing them or something?
Yeah, what's happening here?
Late reaction to the Tampa Green Bay game. I clicked it, and I saw a video, and I'm like, okay, what's this? Heard the audio, and I kind of chuckled. I don't really know. Is he insinuating that Biden and Harris are going to cancel flyovers at sporting events? Is that a policy of theirs?
No, it is not a policy. It will not go away. So I don't know what he's insinuating.
Yeah, I didn't really know I don't know. I guess I shouldn't even try to guess to interpret what Troy Aikman meant there. He's also been concussed a lot, but
yeah, he also said it's a lot of jet fuel to do a little flyover. So he was critical of them.
They probably smelled it. I mean, that's entirely possible. I'm with you in the sense of this. Like, it's no secret that you, me, listeners, we don't all agree on stuff. And I don't know why it has to be such a controversy. And the funniest thing is, like, when it is a celebrity endorsing one side or the other, that side will always run with it. It's always a big deal. Hey, look at this, huh? Like, most of you don't want Hollywood to endorse the right, and then when some in Hollywood endorse the right, you put them forefront. It's like, well, I just thought you just said the Hollywood thing didn't matter. I don't know. I don't know why people get so worked up about finding out that Troy Aikman has maybe different political views than you. And sure, even then, to your point, it's not like he really...
We don't even know what his political opinions are.
...on anything political with Troy Aikman.
Yeah, look, we are in a charged political time. There is an election coming up in two weeks from today.
2 weeks, dude.
2 weeks from
today.
Might
have to do a poll question. Who's going to win tonight?
Yeah, hey, there you go. That'll be a fun show on Tuesday and Wednesday in 2 weeks. So I get it. I get that everybody's like hypersensitive to everything that's going on in the news and political world. I'm right there with you. I'm following. I turned in my ballot this morning, right? Like, we're all in the process of doing that. I get it. But when you see something like this, I'm with you. I saw them trending, and Smoltz was trending after game 7 of the NLCS. And I thought, huh, that's a little weird. So I clicked on why he was trending. And I guess people hate John Smoltz now, like especially Braves fans hate John Smoltz, which, okay, I guess he's rooting against your team. So that was the whole thing. I didn't quite see that one. And then I saw this and I thought, well, why the hell are these guys trending? Is it the same thing? And then I heard the audio and I'm not quite sure why this is a big deal.
I'm going to speak up for Braves fan there.
Are you going Joe Buck? We're going to disinvite him to the stadium, huh? Is he no longer allowed to call Braves games?
No. He's a good analyst. He had times where I think he was overcompensating on trying to be I'm not biased guy because he played so long with the Braves and had so much success.
He's known for being associated with the Braves.
Like, yeah, there was a wear on some Braves. I can understand why Braves fans were a little like, come on, man. Like, we get it. It's also just okay to say I'm an Atlanta Brave. Dodgers are an amazing team.
Yeah,
I was doing it on a radio show, for God's sakes. So I kind of defend Brave fan there.
Every fan has moments like that. When your team's playing in the highest stage, biggest moment of the season, if there's a out-of-slight comment from a commentator.
Especially from an all-time great of a team, you're like, hey, dude.
It's going to irk him.
You were us. Yeah. You were one of us.
I thought you were a Brave man.
I didn't talk about the lineup so much. So Troy Aikman and Joe Buck trending on Twitter yesterday with a hot mic incident involving a jet flyover. And Aikman had a line something to the effect, this won't be happening on the Biden-Harris ticket. And that got a lot of people hot and bothered. All right, we got NFL true or false. We're going to get to coming up next. Crunch time around the corner. And the mail sack not too far away. So get those mail sack questions in at 503-250-1080. But NFL true or false is next on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, a couple people texting in saying that they're required flying hours anyways.
Yeah.
So usually they rope them into a flyover of a stadium. You kill two birds with one stone. You got to get those hours in somehow.
The last flyover I was at, I think, was in Corvallis. And let me just say, very reminiscent of the Tampa situation in terms of the attendance.
Not a lot of people there pre-kickoff.
And this was pre-COVID. So it was cool. And then also you looked around, you're like, I think 15,000 people are here.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was necessary,
I will say one of the cooler experiences I've had recently prior pre-COVID sports-wise was hanging out with Nick Reed at the Rose Bowl, former Oregon defensive lineman Nick Reed, who got a cup of coffee in the NFL.
Oh, wait.
You want to pick up that name I just dropped?
Yeah, here, let me get it for you.
But he now is in the service, and he like flies like bomber planes. And he was the guy that was in charge of coordinating the flyover for the Rose Bowl because he was a duck. They gave him that assignment. So we interviewed him about how, like, what it goes into it, and they have to time it down to the second. And they had some I'm not, you know, up on all my lingo of bomber planes, but they had some special bomber that is such a big time deal that they couldn't, like, park it somewhere. So they're based in Missouri, so they could get to each side of the coast as quickly as possible. They're based in, like, the center port of the country. And they had to time it out from the second of leaving that morning. It had to fly from Missouri. It flew out over the Pacific Ocean, got refueled over the Pacific Ocean, flew over the Rose Bowl prior to kickoff, and then flew back to Missouri all in one flight.
So, like, a plane met up with it in the air over the ocean to put fuel in it?
It was nuts. I met up with him, had a beer like that, and me and Jesse did the night before the game, and then he came on the pregame show at the Rose Bowl, and it was crazy to hear that story and all that went into it. Man. But that was wild. All right, let's get to NFL True or False every Tuesday at 1:30. Last week, I won again, boys. You got to get on my level. I was 3-1.
What are you winning? You keep talking.
I'm winning all
the
things.
You only talk about winning on
winning
this
all the
when
things.
You have a good... Well, I don't even know it's a
Look,
good thing.
I'm the best there ever is in NFL, true or false. Nobody can sniff me, okay? Swigard, you were 2-2. Sprager, you were 1-3. Here are the questions. The Browns will rush for more than 125 yards against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I didn't see the final stats.
You and I said true. We were wrong on that one. They ran for 75 yards. Swigard, you got that one right. You said false. Next one up, there will be another head coach fired after week 6 of the season. Swag, you said true. That ended up being false. You thought Adam Gase would get fired.
I don't know why he's still there.
He should get fired. I'd say Mike McCarthy should get fired, too.
Who has the number one pick?
The New York Jets do.
What's the commonality there? Adam Gase still the coach.
Matthew Stafford will pull back into a tie this week with Russell Wilson with a fourth quarter comeback win. I said false. You guys said true. He did not need a fourth quarter comeback win because they kicked the you-know-what out of the Jags.
Yeah, that guy. I was thinking they would come back. The right one.
And then last but not least, the two quarterbacks in Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes will combine for more rushing touchdowns than interceptions when they meet on Monday.
Oh, that wasn't true.
You said true, Sprager.
Yeah.
Swag and I got that right. False. There was one interception thrown. It was Josh Allen's, and there were zero rushing touchdowns.
That game kind of sucked.
Start
out there. Like, I know it was a good win for Kansas City. It was impressive, but
A little boring.
It was like the first weather game
they
played in.
Weather didn't help. Let's start with this. The Steelers visiting the Titans this Sunday will be just the 8th time in NFL history. Two undefeated teams, both with at least 5 wins, will face off. The home team is 4-2-1 in those previous meetings. True or false, the Titans will be the last remaining undefeated team in the AFC next week.
This is tough because they just lost Devin Bush in Pittsburgh, and that's a pretty big loss. He's such an athletic player.
They did.
Titans just lost Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
They did. Lost an offensive lineman.
I'm going to go that this is false, though. I think the Steelers are going to win this game. I need to look at the spreads. I was looking at them yesterday, and I'm blanking on what this one is. I think it's like 2 or 3.
Locally, it's 2.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, by the way, favored by 2 on the road.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh in this spot. I think they can throw the ball around on that Tennessee defense. I know Josh Allen in Buffalo would tell you different. But Deshaun Watson got it cooking. He played really well. They didn't lose on account of not having offense. They lost on the Houston side because they don't have defense. I think Pittsburgh can move, and I think they've got a better defense. I'm going to go that this is false.
I'm going to go false, too, for one reason. I think both these teams like to run the football. Tennessee much more reliant on it than Pittsburgh is. Pittsburgh, to this point in the year, has the number two rush defense in the league. And we saw what we just mentioned, the true or false, last week at Cleveland against them. They held them to 75, and Cleveland was running the ball all over everybody. Only giving up 66 yards per game. Flip that to Tennessee, who on the year is in the bottom tier of the league. They're giving up almost 140 yards a game on the ground. I think Pittsburgh can establish a run easier against Tennessee, especially with Luan out for the Titans. And I'm going to say that this is false. I think Pittsburgh wins the game.
Yeah, I think this is false. The Pittsburgh defense being the difference here.
Tennessee, God, we're all on the same thing.
Tennessee relying more on getting turnovers, but you can march up and down the field on them. Number two, the Raiders will face a third Super Bowl winning quarterback already this season when they host Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Only the 76 Patriots and the 2013 Bengals have beaten three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks within their first six games of an NFL season.
That's a great stat.
True or false, the Raiders will be the third team to beat three teams with Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in their first six games.
God.
What was the first Super Bowl winning quarterback they beat?
Drew Brees.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
This is tough.
I don't know what to make of Tampa right now.
Tampa, I mean, that was an eye-opening win on Sunday. But you want to know, like, how much of it was a one-off and how much of it is them, like, figuring it all out and the defense shows up. And
that
Gronkowski
was more defense
got going
to me, yeah.
And to have faith in the Raiders to pull off another one.
They had a bye, though.
They did have a bye. You know, what the
Do
hell,
it.
Man?
Do
all
it.
Right, my boy Chucky.
Do it.
Let me tell you what, man. I'm gonna give me the Raiders to win this game here. True.
I love the belief. I think just out of just being different from you, I'll allow you to have that true because I kind of like that pick.
Raiders are a 3-point underdog in this game. That's a fun Sunday night game.
That's a great Sunday night. If that gets to a hook, I'm taking the Raiders. I'll go just to be. I'll be different here. I'll say false. Tampa, prove me right. Show me more on offense. Bring that same defensive intensity. And you've got something cooking. You can beat the Raiders if you do, but we need consistency from Tampa, I think. So I will go false.
I'm going to say true. I think the Raiders are starting to get comfy in their new digs.
The autumn wind is a pirate.
And
like 2-1 in Vegas?
Yeah, Gruden with an extra week to plan for that. I like that very much. Number three, the NFC West continues to be the best division in football. No team has a losing record through week six of the schedule. True or false, all four teams will have a winning record after week seven of the NFL season. It's really only dependent on your 49ers, Sprague, getting a win.
At New England.
In New England.
Who's pissed off and played like absolute dog ass.
Yeah, Belichick's already ranting and raving about Kittle, saying he's one of the best tight ends he's ever seen.
He, by the way, go look up Travis Kelce's numbers against Bill Belichick. He is probably the master in so many things. He's the master at taking away a great tight end. He's teeing it up. Yeah. I would not expect a 49er win. I think New England's going to be ready.
You're going to go false here?
And
because that's the only one. Everybody else, the Cardinals are two games above.
The Niners
Seahawks
getting
are
anybody back? They getting Mostert
no,
back?
No, Mostert's going to go on IR now.
Mostert's going on IR. I haven't seen Sherman, although it was nice to get Mosley back defensively.
Barrett
he was
had a
really
good.
Game
good.
Too.
Yeah, but the Patriots,
I don't think you're going to do
offense is anemic right now.
Well, it was bad last week, and I still think there's an offense capable of beating San Francisco. I'm not convinced their offensive line will play as well as they did against the Rams. And I don't think Jimmy G dumping 4-yard passes is going to beat every team they play. I'm going to go false.
I'm going to say that this is true, although the Mostert injury is terrifying for me because he just is a different animal when he's back there. But there's, I don't know. I'm not buying New England this year. I have not been overly impressed with them, even in some, like, outside of the Seattle game when they got their offense going and scored 30 points.
Kansas City game was impressive. They just didn't have a quarterback because of COVID.
Sure, yeah. And Kansas City ended up pulling away late in that game. They only scored 21 in the first game against Miami. They scored 12 this past Sunday against Denver. I think they're limited in what they can do at the wide receiver position. And the 49ers, to have a banged-up defense to get to face that offense, I think is a huge benefit for them. The 49ers try and run the football, keep Garoppolo comfortable. I think it's a close game, low-scoring game. But I'll take the 49ers for another win. I'll say this is true.
I think that's good reasoning. Let me just throw in real quick. Robert Saleh's defenses always struggle against mobile quarterbacks. I'd expect Cam Newton to be playing and be very active on the ground.
I'm going to say true. The weather should be good out in Foxborough. That will allow the 49ers to do whatever they want offensively, putting Jimmy G in as good a spot as he can. He finally looks like that ankle's healthy.
Can we stop?
I think.
Come on. He threw 4-yard passes. Can we stop acting like he torched somebody?
They were good 4-yard passes, man. Oh he was God. Accurate. Hitting those screens, baby.
Cam was having trouble throwing 4-yard
yes,
passes.
Yes, he was.
Denver's defense is good.
Finally, in
is
their
it?
26.
Are you sure about that one?
No.
In their 26-13 win over the Bills Monday night, the Chiefs had more rushing yards on offense than passing yards in a game for the first time since September of 2017.
That is so wild.
True or false, the Chiefs will again rush for more yards than they throw for this week against the Broncos as they add Le'Veon Bell to the mix.
False. I think the Chiefs offense shows up in a big way. Denver got lucky. They got a nice win. Chiefs win this one by double digits. Book it. Patrick Mahomes going to light them up. Le'Veon Bell actually only helps the passing game. This is false.
They have to sing all our answers now. Is that like a new trend?
I don't know.
That threw me off a little bit.
You're going Jeff Passan on us.
This I also am going to say is false, just because it takes such a Herculean effort from the run game to outgain Patrick Mahomes. A lot of that was the conditions and just the way the game played out. They just didn't need to throw the ball very much. Not that they will against Denver. I'm going to stamp this with a 2-touchdown guarantee, and I am all over Kansas City minus the 9.5 right now.
Yeah,
give me that tasty
action.
Yeah,
Denver can't have a
this
is
just
not going to show up.
Got a 9-game winning streak against the Broncos. Mahomes is 5-0 and has had some of his more memorable moments.
Who's Denver's daddy?
That would be Patrick Mahomes.
So he had a great tweet yesterday. Like, imagine being a fan of an AFC West team, knowing you got a game plan against that guy for another 15 years.
Imagine being a Bronco fan right now.
God. So I'll say false. I think there might be a lot more screen passes to Hilaire and Bell. Kind of, they'll let the pass rush try and come up a little bit, and then dump it off to the wings and let them take off.
All right, there you go. NFL true or false. Every Tuesday, we'll grade them again next week and hand out all our winning trophies that we do every week for whoever wins. We'll do that every single Tuesday at 1:30.
Except when Dirt loses, then they'll just be like, all right, you guys were 2-2.
If I lose next week, we will not reference the records. Okay, we still got a lot to get to. Mail sack in the final hour. Coming up next, though, there's one quarterback storyline that's going under the radar. Tua is getting all the headlines today. There's another story that should be getting more attention, and this is a little unfair. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaver Tittaloa Division, Vancouver. They are all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. Stop by one of the locations today. I was at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning.
Let's go!
Thanks, Tom. I'll be back again tomorrow. Still got a lot to get to, including some college football notes. Top of the hour, we have kick times for the Pac-12.
Do people get excited about kick times, or do you hear the kick time and then like a week later you forget the kick time?
I'll probably end up forgetting them, but I think it is another signal that we're inching closer to the Pac-12 playing football, so that's kind of exciting. And also, they don't really matter because you can't go as a fan, so if you can't go as a fan, why do you really care? Right? You're just sitting around watching football most of the day anyway. So
you'll look it up Friday night and go, hey, what time is my team playing?
Okay, they play that time.
I have a theory that kick times are not relevant for people, and I also have a theory that...
I think they're relevant for season ticket holders because you don't want to go to too many late games, that kind of stuff. But for normal fans.
Right. But they're not going.
No. Yeah. This year, not relevant at all. No.
And then I think people are to the point. This is my general summation. I'm projecting here a little bit. I don't think people care about these Pac-12 stories anymore. Larry Scott did something stupid. Conference commissioners were not ready, but Larry Scott was the one idiot. They're the same story.
Yeah. Like, it's over and
over. Are we getting anything out of those stories anymore? Do you really care?
Yeah. For me, the answer is no until a change is made at the top, which is only a matter of time, but we just got to inch closer to that goal line.
That's a contract thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Mail sack as well. Keep your questions in coming in 503-250-1080. Tua is getting a lot of attention today because he was named the new starter for the Miami Dolphins. Which caught some people by surprise because Miami had been playing well. They won 3 out of 4. Like, all right, we're going to the rookie. Okay. Well, there's another quarterback change that could be happening, and I have to ask the question, why? And I don't know if you guys saw this headline. I know the team's not going to get much attention, but the guy resonates locally. And this is coming out of Jacksonville. So Jacksonville won their first game this year. We know that. And ever since then, it has not gone well. They've lost five straight games. They got blown out at home by Detroit. They haven't looked good. They're the Jags that everybody was expecting after a couple of weeks of being semi-competitive. Well, Doug Marrone was doing an interview, and he was asked about the quarterback position and said that he is definitely going to think about in the future making a change at starting quarterback if Gardner Minshew does not play well. Minshew leads the NFL in completions with 162. Now, a lot of that is because they're down by double digits in every game. But
slanging it.
Sure, give him the credit. He has completed just short of 70% of his passes this year. He has 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Why would you bench Gardner Minshew?
Hey, maybe you want to see what Jake Luton has.
You know who the number two guy is right now on the roster?
Well, this is up for debate.
Well,
this
sure.
is a debatable thing. We're not 100% certain.
One guy has been active for every game, and the other guy, I don't think, has been active for a single game.
Until they bench him.
The backup is Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
So if you make a move to play Mike Glennon, I get the Jake Luton jokes, and sure, I'd love to see Jake Luton get a chance.
I actually would want to see him play. I don't know how good or bad he would be, but
I'd be all for that. If you bench Gardner Minshew for Mike Glennon?
I don't get it either.
What the hell are we talking about here, Jacksonville?
Yeah, no, this is a very Jacksonville-y of them to kick around just punting. And look,
our roster sucks. We gutted everything. Our coach isn't very good. And let's bench our quarterback.
All Gardner's fault.
what are we doing here,
Let's go to well-established backup who actually doesn't ever really win anywhere he goes, Mike Glennon.
A 30-year-old backup who's been awful in every stop. Let's make Mike Glennon our starter the rest of the year.
Look, you know, since I said Gardner might be tank-proof, and I stole that from our good friend Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, he's lost every game.
He's not quite tank-proof.
He is not tank-proof. However, it's not like every game you put everything on him. Now, again, I've seen a decent amount of his games. He struggles. You know, his completion percentage, I think you look at things like that, they're a little misleading. Sure. He doesn't really push the ball down the field as well as you need to. They have far too many three and outs during the course of a game to compete with some of these teams. You saw it against Detroit. And largely when he gets it going, it's either because his team is down big and it's just slang that rock around and hopefully you can have a comeback, or slang it around because time is dwindling down. Let's score some more points. He hasn't been great. I don't blame everything on him for what's going on in Jacksonville. We kind of knew this going in. They had sold off their entire franchise, basically traded guys, released guys, cut guys. And they got that surprise win against the Colts. Turns out that might just be that the Colts aren't all that great either. But since then, they've done almost next to nothing. So I don't understand the reasoning here why they would go that direction. Because again, Mike Glennon is 30-something years old. He's shown who he is. You're not proving anything. I don't think you increase your chances of winning a football game. If you were to actually give Jake Luton, I don't just say this as a beef, but
yeah, that would be the only reason of like, hey, we like this guy. He's looking on the practice squad or whatever. Insert, let's give him five games.
Yes, insert any other rookie quarterback. If you wanted to get a look at him, I get that. But if you're going to Mike Glennon, I'd rather just keep throwing Gardner Minshew out there and maybe you'll win two or three more games.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly going to go in another direction this offseason. Minshew has not played up to the level that you would want, and it's not on him because, again, that team sucks, and I don't think his head coach is very good. But to bench him, like a guy that's beloved by those fans, he's one of the few things that's he's got a Fitzmagic quality to him.
I was going to say, he might be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He's kind of running
career.
Around making plays. It's not always pretty, but sometimes he gets the job done. I don't know. If you're going to make a change for Mike Glennon, that makes absolutely zero sense in the short term and the long term. You might as well give Minshew a second year guy the rest of the year, and you're not winning games, so you could end up with a top five pick, and you can go draft your next quarterback. But I saw that headline today on CBS, and I just thought, what the hell? Why would you do that?
You see the Roddy White? Did you see what he said about Lawrence? He says, if Trevor Lawrence leaves and the Jets have the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence should go back to Clemson.
Just say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm out of here, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going back for another year in college.
I would pull an Eli.
Yeah, I'm not playing there. I'm not going to the Jets.
I mean, I really think that should be more in play for some of these guys because their entire careers. Like, if Baker would have done this, I know it would have been an S show because everybody either loves or hates Baker.
Right, right.
But quarterbacks that go to franchises that traditionally suck, if I'm Trevor Lawrence and you're sitting in that spot, or I'm Justin Fields, I really want to know who is my head coach and what's the GM, what's the track record. Yeah. And if there's not proven history there,
you're going to tank my career. I'm not going to be a part of it.
You got to be a little weary. Yeah. I'm surprised we don't see more John Elway, more Eli Manning situations where they're like, screw you. I don't want to play for that team. I want to go to this team or I want to play for a different squad.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton Alloa Division, Vancouver. They are all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations today. They got great deals going on in the month of October, and I'll be back at the Glorious House of Gaines tomorrow morning. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. World Series starts tonight. We'll give a final preview of that. We got a lot of poll questions we need to answer. We will get to the mail sack coming up at 2:15, so keep your questions coming in, 503-250-1080. We got a good sack filling up so far today. We'll start, though, in college football. A couple of kick times coming out for the Pac-12. And then on top of that, an update out of the Mountain West, which is trying to begin play. A quarterback starter has been named, and things are not going good in Florida. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.